I once was a pastor. I have boxes in my closet labeled unknown, kinda known, semi-open. And we all have these things in our hearts and in our minds that we have trapped away, we have locked securely in the places of our heart and our mind. And today we're going to dive into a psalm that you have heard multiple times already. Oh Lord, search me and know me. And we have an opportunity today to take some of the boxes out of the closet and to move them, and not just to move them, but to actually set them down and to begin to open them up and to begin to clean and organize our thoughts and our hearts and our minds so that we can be more and more and more like Jesus. That's our goal today. And when you're moving, it's really nice to have a friend, isn't it? Especially a friend with a truck. It's really nice to have that person, right? And we have a friend in Jesus, right? We have a friend in Jesus. And we talked about that last week out of Psalm 25, verse 14 just keeps coming up, talking about God being our friend. That we have friendship with the Lord for those who fear him. We understand that we can have this friendship where we're speaking intentionally to him through prayer, and that we can walk along this path with him. Lord, which way should we go now? Lord, do you mind helping me with this? And we have this friend that is willing to help us move if we just ask him to help. But then at the end of the sermon last week in Psalm 62, as we read through all of these beautiful psalms, we talked about how to pray scripture and how to make that an integral part of everything that we do. We read a verse in verses 11 and 12, and it said, "Once God has spoken, twice have I heard this, that the power belongs to the Lord," that God has the power to lift the boxes even when they're heavy. You know, one reason I get asked to move a lot, more than Jonathan, by the way, is because I can actually lift the heavy boxes, right? I can be the one to carry those things down the stairs, and I have a truck, right? And so I'm asked to move those things, right? But the next part of the verse says that with God, there is a steadfast love. And there's a difference when you help people move, and there's a difference when you begin to open the boxes. And so what God wants from you today is not just to take the unknown boxes, the sins, the addictions, the trauma from the past, and just take this box and move it to a different closet, to a storage shed somewhere. He doesn't want that. What he wants you to do is to take this box out of the closet and to sit down with him face to face as you would with someone that you love, someone that you have intimacy with, and open the box and say, "Lord, can you help me with this thing?" Whatever this thing might be, every one of us have something different in the boxes because of our life experiences, because of our struggles. Do we want to have that sort of relationship through prayer with God that we say, "Lord, I want to open up this box with you"? This is the message of today. And this is the message that's going to come to you at the end of the service. What boxes do you need to open today? And so when we jump into Psalm 139, we read that first verse, "Lord, search me and know me." And I just have to warn you, it's scary. It has not been a good week for me. As I have said, "Lord, search me and know me," and I begin to open this, it's like, there's a lot of boxes in there. And he didn't even give me a chance to say, "Lord, which one to open?" Right? That happens sometimes. God doesn't say, "Which one you want to open today?" He's like, "Hey, this one." Push, push. It's just that kind of week where the Lord has just beat me to shreds and then built me back up again on the foundation that is Christ. Because we don't even realize sometimes that the measurement's off because we're so short-sighted that we don't see the little mistakes we make now where they're going to end up after a while. So today, you're going to go through what I've gone through this week, all right? Hopefully not as bad, to open up some boxes and to dive into it. Now we understand this experience because David, The great psalmist has gone through so many of these highs and lows and these emotions. And in this psalm, right when, about the time that this psalm was written, David had finally become the king of Israel. In 1 Chronicles chapter 13, he has just become the king. He's been chased by Saul for years and years, and now he has come into the kingdom. He is the king, and one of the first decisions that David makes is he wants the Ark of the Covenant, the worship of the Lord, to come back into Jerusalem. And in his haste and in his excitement for the presence of God to come back into Jerusalem, he hires someone with a cart and some oxen to move the ark and to bring it back into the city. But in 1 Chronicles 13, that one of the oxen stumbles and the ark begins to fall off the cart, and Uzzah, a priest, puts out his hand to save this relic, save this amazing thing of God, and it cost him his life. Because in Deuteronomy 10, it says, you don't touch the things that are holy, or else it'll cost you your life. And David is now, in his haste to do something that he thinks is for God, he has caused the death of someone else because of his carelessness. You see, if David would have been patient and prepared and known, hey, we have to carry this ark in with the Levites, with these poles, and read through Numbers chapter 4 and read through these other places that tell him exactly how to do these things for the Lord, it would have gone well. And he does do that again a few chapters later. But in the meantime, in his haste, he makes a mistake. And he has to come before the Lord and say, Lord, why? I was trying to do something good for you. And he pens this psalm, Lord, search me and know me. And look what he says next. Because as we are searched and as we are known by God, it's going to produce in us some after effects, right? It says, you know when I sit and when I rise. You discern my thoughts from afar. You have searched me out. You've searched out my path and my lying down, and you are acquainted with all of my ways. Even before a word was on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether, right? He finishes your sentences. He finishes your sandwiches, right? If you, Frozen in reference, anybody have kids? Okay, missed that one. Right? You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. That, look at the beautiful ideas that David is pinning, whether I'm sitting or whether I'm rising, whether I'm close, whether I'm far, you hem me in, you're behind me, you're before me. You know my thoughts, you know how I'm going to finish my sentences. You, Lord, know me in every way possible. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. What does it mean for God to really know everything about us? How incredible is that? That should create in us a sense of awe. That God knows each one of our stories. He doesn't say, Lord, search us and know us. He says, search me and know me. That God knows each one of you. He knows the things that are on your heart and they're on your mind. And the question is, are you willing to open those things to him? It's sort of like, anybody have a phone? Like, I have an iPhone, and sometimes my phone is not working well, so I have to swipe up and see how many things I really have open on my phone, and then I'm like, and I have like 25 things open in the background that are running, right? Sometimes in our own heart and our life, we don't even realize how many things we have running in the background of our head, how many thoughts that are just running around up there that we have never put an end to them to be able to focus completely and put all of our energy into knowing and being like Christ. And so we should be in awe of a God that has all of these things going on but still knows us and loves us. Such knowledge is too wonderful for us. And then he just adds this point into us that we have security in him. Here's the next thing, that when God searches you and you know him, he's going to build up in you this sense of security. Here's what he says. He says, where shall I go from your spirit? Oh, where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, in death, in the grave, you are there. It reminds me of Romans chapter 8, right, where it talks about neither life nor death, right? Neither angels or rulers, nor things present or things to come. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Do you believe that? Do you believe that nothing can separate you from the love of God? Nothing happened in our culture, nothing happened in your family, nothing happened in your own thoughts can separate you from the love of God. That's why it's safe to open up that box with Him. That's why it's good when you're in a healthy place to open these boxes. You see, we tend to only run to the closet when we're on our knees, when we've been broken, and we begin to go, why is all this happening to me? Instead, we want to run to Him and let Him clean out our closet while we're in that love of God, when we're able to sit face to face with Him. Do you have security in knowing God? Is your security based upon Him? Right? Because whether we're in the heavens, He's there. We're in make our beds in death or Sheol, He is there. If I take the wings of the morning, which if you know me, never happens. I don't take the wing of any kind of morning. But anyway, and I dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea. Even there your hand will lead me. Your right hand shall hold me. Even your hand will lead me. Toddler, immature, Christian me sometimes, God's going to lead me. His right hand is going to uphold me. This is what we talked about last week. As we cling to Him, His right hand upholds us. This is the good news of the gospel, that His love will never run out. And it gets even better than that. I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light will be like night. In other words, we will run in the darkness a lot of times to escape this love of God that we have. As God begins to call us to do something that we don't want to do, we run. And there's nowhere we can run, so we try to hide. And we try to hide in the idea of this darkness and this chaos and this sin. I run to food. I run to ice cream. I run to pizza. I run to that stuff because that stuff I think is going to satisfy me. All it does is make me hurt worse. The problem didn't go away. We run and we hide from these things, right? But we can't run from Him, because what does it say next? Even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. It reminds me of John chapter 1 in verses 4 and 5, where it says that He is life, right? And the life that He brought was the light of men. He is the light of the world, right? In Him is found life. The light of the world shines in the darkness. Do you shine in the darkness? Does Jesus shine in the darkness of that closet where the light's been burnt out for a long time, where Jesus Christ needs to come in and be the light in your life? It reminds me of Romans chapter 5, verse 8, where it says, even while we were still sinners, even while we were in this darkness, Christ died for us. That Christ loves you so much that even while you're a sinner, He endured the cross, despising its shame, to die for our sins, to give us new life in Him. This is the good news of the gospel that we see playing out right here, because the light of the world was going to come, and that light of the world was Jesus. And that light gives us life. That's the next thing I want you to write down, that security in the Lord, these things that are being built up in Him, they give life. Jesus Christ, who is our life. We talked about this in Psalm 63. All of these things begin to put together that Christ is better than life. Our lips will praise Him. And so we see here that Jesus Christ is the author of life. For you formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, and in your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when yet were none of them. That we know that God is the author of life, and that He's the ordainer of our days, and that He's the ender of our life, and that we can trust in Him, that He is the beginning and He is the end, and we leave those things to Him. Now, it's really tempting with this particular passage to get political. It's really tempting to jump to the fact, is this saying that God loves people even in the womb? And the answer is yes. Jesus Christ loves people from conception. He knows them in their mother's womb. Does that mean that we should be about preserving life in the womb? Yes. We should, yes, we should be about raising people up and giving them the support that they need to walk through these difficulties, and that we should not say that abortion is an option. We need to stand on the truth that God loves them. But we can't just say we care about babies in the womb. Are we about adoption? Are we about options afterwards to support people in this process? Are we about life? You see, we limit these verses to make some kind of statement, when in actuality, do we care about life beyond that? You see, these verses are saying that you have value because you were knit together, that God made you just as you are. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you have value in Him outside of other people giving you value? Do you believe that? You know what that means? You don't have the right to take your own life, because God is the beginner of life and the ender of life. And we need to walk as light into the darkness for people that are struggling in depression, that are struggling in the chaos of our world that is put upon them. If we care about life, we care about all life. That means that we don't want to hope for murder on someone, because their life is precious and their life is valuable. See, the statement, the idea that Jesus is the author of life and the ender, that He is sovereign over our days, should permeate every area of our life and be a statement that we can live and that we can build our life upon. You have value. You were bought with a price, right? 1 Corinthians says, you were bought with a price, and that price was the blood of Jesus Christ. So you have value. Stop searching for value from everybody else around you. You have value in Him. From the very beginning to the very end, till the end of our days, we live for Christ. Amen? There's no time that you just like check out. There's no retirement from Christianity, right? You live your life for Christ until He calls you home. When that's going to be, we don't know. That's up to Him, right? And we just trust Him through the entire process of that. That's what we build our life on. That's what it says right here. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How incredible is it to know how God works? His ways are higher than our ways. We don't understand them, but we trust them. Because even though our temporary circumstances might be difficult, we trust Him through that process. This is how these verses speak to us about life. How vast is the sum of His thoughts. If we were to count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I'm still with you. And notice, He wakes up, He's like, if I wake up, this isn't a dream. This isn't like some kind of dream that's out there that we hope to achieve. This is the reality of God knowing us. It's the reality of Him loving you. He says, you have value even though you have all these boxes in the closet. You have value because it's not based upon this. It's not what gives you value. I made you. I love you. That's what gives you value. And then the psalmist, in just the way David is, he just goes real. He is in this beautiful, poetic, you are the giver of life. And he's like, dude, I hate these people. I mean, he just goes straight up like, what? Lord, look what he says right here. Oh, that you would only slay the wicked, O God. O men of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with malice intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you? He goes straight to hate. He's like, I hate what the world has done with these things that you have given us. I hate what the world has done with sex and the way that they have perverted. I hate, Lord, what they have done with the babies that are out there and the lives that are out there. I hate, Lord, what they have done. But, Lord, you need to search me, because this is who I really am, Lord. There arises in me this anger and this hate. But he goes, Lord, search me and know my heart. Search me. And, like, is this just one of the boxes I just open and spilled it all out there? Lord, search me and know me. Because when the things of God come to the forefront, the world is going to push against them. Are we going to stand firm on the foundation that is Jesus Christ? Are we going to be bold as believers in Christ to pray this prayer? Lord, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there is any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Are you willing to pray a bold prayer today? Lord, I want you to know me. I want to be known by you. And we've been walking through this prayer time, and what I want to do is give you a chance to pray a prayer to the Lord. And when we do that, here's what I want to lay before you, right? What boxes are in your closet? What boxes do you need to bring to the altar and lay down before the Lord? For some of you, you don't have a friend in Jesus because you don't know him. You have never given your life completely to him. You have held back. You've called him an acquaintance. You've known him from afar. You haven't known him as a friend. And I invite you to give your life completely to him. Some of you, he's one of your high school friends. You knew him a while back, and you've lived a lot of your life on the memories of when you first got to know him, and you haven't been walking with him day by day. And I want to invite you to renew that call on your life. Say, Lord, I want to walk with you day by day, hand in hand. I want to rededicate my life to serve you. I want to open up my life to you. Lord, know me, change me to be more like you. For some of you, we need to pray for these boxes. Lord, take my anger. I lay it before you. Take it away. Throw it in the dumpster. Get rid of it. Burn it up in the fire, which is the Holy Spirit, and just take it away from me, Lord. This addiction, this hidden addiction that I've been hiding, Lord, I need to give this to you. I need you to take it away from me. Whatever it might be for you, we need to lay those things before him so that we can leave this place in awe of him, having our security in him, resting in the value that he has and the life that he has given us, and just being amazed. If we can walk out of this place in joy, the world will be changed because he is the light of the world. God doesn't want us to come here and be the same when we leave, right? Every Sunday, we're going to challenge you to be different. We come to praise him, and we come so he can make us new and renew our life. So here's what I would like for you to do. We're going to go old school. We're not going to play Just As I Am for like 48 verses if you've been in Baptist church before, but I want to give you an opportunity to respond to what God is calling your life. Now, please understand, I don't want to guilt you into making a decision. This is not me. Like we don't count anything. It's not about that. I want you to be right with the Lord because I have walked through this all week. I'll be honest, Monday and Tuesday, I was scared to pray, being honest with you. I was scared. I knew the passage. I picked the passage. I'm like, why did you pick this passage? There's 150 Psalms. Pick something different. And I was scared to pray. And when I opened that door, it was like, woo, right? I had to meet with someone that we met this week. Like, hey, can you pray, right? Because I'm having a hard week. I got beat up this week, right? Because when you open this door, the stink comes out. You didn't even realize what was in some of those boxes that you've been hiding away. Hey, let's open them up. Let's solve some of these things that we didn't even realize were hurting us. And let's lay them at the cross today. Okay, so if you'll close your eyes with me, I want to do something a little different. If you're at home, I want you to close your eyes with me too as we do this invitation because this is for you at home as well. I want to pray and I want to ask you to give you a little bit of time to reflect, and then we're just going to sing a song of celebration. Okay, let me pray for us, Lord. We lay our thoughts before you. We lay our hearts before you. Lord, I pray that right now you will search me and know me and anything in my heart that I need to lay before you, Lord, that I will lay it down right now. Lord, I pray for each one of us here in this room, Lord, that if you want us to be different, if you want to change our lives and change our hearts, that you will come in and spur us, pull us, nudge us to make a decision for you, whether it's giving up addiction, whether it's a decision to read your word or to pray, Lord, it could be a positive decision, not just something we give up, Lord, but I pray that you will help us make a decision to change our hearts to be more like you. Lord, speak to our hearts, speak to our soul. And I want to ask you, if you're here or you're at home, if the Lord is speaking to your heart and he wants you to change something in your heart and your mind, I want you to think about how you're going to respond. to that. If you've never given your life to Christ, I want to give you an opportunity right now just to stand and say, I want my life to be about Jesus. All the eyes are closed, even my eyes are closed, Lord. If we're going to stand for Jesus, we have to be bold. Lord, if we want to be different, if we want to rededicate and change our life and make it more like Christ, I invite you to stand, whether you're at home or in this room, stand and say, I want my life to be more like you. Lord, if you're calling us to give up sin, an addiction, or something in our heart, I pray that you will help us to stand right now and say, I want to give up an addiction, I want to give up something to you. Lord, if you're calling us to be more, to give you more time, to give you more of our life, if that is a decision you're putting on our heart, I pray that you'll help us to stand right now. Lord, we love you. I pray that you'll help us to worship you. I pray that you'll help us to know you. I pray, Lord, you'll help us to lay down our sins before you, so that we can be more like you. Lord, we're going to sing a song to you. We're going to sing a song that says, oh, come to the altar. And Lord, during that time, I pray that you'll help us to maybe write down this decision, write down something that we're doing, that you're doing in our hearts, so that we can leave this place and we can be different. Lord Jesus, search us and know us. We pray this in your name. Amen.